You have found the Drop Podcast, recorded live at the spacious STL All Sports Radio Studios. The Drop is an unbiased, in-depth hockey podcast dedicated to the St. Louis Blues and all the hot topics within the NHL. So tell the ref, you don't mind the game misconduct penalty. You were headed to the locker room anyway to listen to The Drop. Here's your host, Lance Descott.
Thanks for joining us once again on The Drop Podcast. I am your host, Lance Descott. You know, I hope everybody kind of watched themselves with how much food they ate. I know this time of the year it's a little tempting with all the turkeys and ham and stuffing and mashed potatoes and cranberries and whatever other food people eat around this time. Every culture has different types of foods they eat. But I hope nobody got too stuffed to where they had to sleep it off. We know how common that is with the chemical that's in turkey. So it's nice to have everybody back. Hope you've had your rest and are ready for some Blues hockey heading into the new year here in 2017. We know we're all excited for the Winter Classic to come up on Monday, January 2nd, but the Blues got a couple games left to close out this year. This one that we're going to be going over would be the Blues versus the Flyers, which is play on the 28th. Would the Blues have a little bit of a holiday hangover? Would they be looking forward a little too much to the Winter Classic against the Blackhawks? Let's go ahead and get into the highlights and see which one of those scenarios would play out.
The shot is just off target as Schultz moved up again. Here's Braden Schenn in front. Chance connecting. Scores. Wayne Simmonds has the icebreaker for Philadelphia.
You talk about precision, skill, and hard work. There's nothing Carter Hutton could do on this one. Absolutely zero. I mean, this is picture perfect. Offensive zone puck recovery. Puck goes in, you go to work. Tape to tape, there's a chance. Go recover the puck again. Make a line change, keep the plays alive, move it, tape to tape to tape to the net. I mean, that is something else from Travis Konecny.
A great pass from Travis Konecny to Wayne Simmonds, who is just sitting there with about 2.5-3 feet of the goal wide open for him. And somebody like Simmonds is not going to miss that. It was Simmonds' 17th goal, Konecny's 13th assist, and Sheehan's 13th assist. So 13 and 13 for both of them. That was at 3 minutes and 25 seconds in, and the Flyers take a 1-0 lead. That it would last that way for about 12 minutes before the Blues would get on the board. And within that 12 minutes, both teams would have some pretty good opportunities to get goals. Both goalies came up big, Steve Mason for the Flyers, and also Carter Hutton, who was playing in this game instead of Jake Allen. It was just a good game to watch, a physical game. Both teams wanted to have a physical presence, and they did. The Blues would get on the board about 15 minutes into the game on this beautiful goal by Kevin Shattenkirk.
Tarasenko returns it to Shattenkirk, and now Steen walks in. Shattenkirk fires!
That's 8 goals on the year for Shattenkirk, and that's a self-inflicted wound on the Philadelphia Flyers. Miscommunication off the initial draw leads to more zone time. They move the puck around up high. Good job. Shattenkirk will walk the line, take the relay back, and he'll hammer time this one right by Steve Mason with a huge screen from Yuri Laterra. Great dish from Steen, the howitzer from Shattenkirk, and we're all tied up at one. But a terribly misplayed puck by the Flyers leads to that goal by Shattenkirk.
That goal came about due to the inability of the Flyers to get the puck out of their own end and the Blues' ability to keep the pressure on and keep the puck in the end. Great, beautiful goal by Shattenkirk, his 8th of the season. Assist by Steen is 15th, and by Tarasenko is 23rd assist, and that was 15 minutes and 1 second into the first period, and that would be a power play goal. We need the Blues to get more of these power play goals. They've been playing really well on even strength, but their power play is not up to what they want it to be. I know they've improved, but let's continue to improve it. And with that being said, we wouldn't have to wait too long for another Blues power play goal.
Been effective for a couple of years now. Here's Pietrangelo all the way. Stopped by Mason. What a rush by Alex Pietrangelo. Another chance. Just bumped the slump. Late to the first period of the Blues lead.
Alex Pietrangelo with his best impression of the legendary Doug Harvey as a former St. Louis Blue. carry the puck, dictate the terms, own the ice, pace it up, go through the defense, create an opportunity. Philadelphia in full scramble mode. Parayko keeps it alive, and then Robbie Fabbri, lightning quick release with a little bit of traffic in front of Steve Mason.
A great goal by Fabbri and a great, great pass by Parayko to make that goal happen. But I tell you, it all started with Alex Pietrangelo bringing that puck in. Just a great presence, bringing it over the blue line. I'd like to see him do that more. He does it sometimes in some games, but when he has the ability to do it, man, he takes advantage of it, and he just looks so smooth bringing that puck in, and so does Parayko. But on this one, it would be Pietrangelo bringing it in, and Parayko with the perfect pass from to the side of the goal to Robbie Fabbri for his ninth goal of the year. Another power play goal for the Blues, Pareko's 16th assist, and it was 19 minutes and 48 seconds into the first period, and the Blues take a 2-1 lead into the locker room. That looked very good for most of that first period. Not a disappointing game at all. I don't care if you're a fan of the Flyers or the Blues. This is a fun game to watch. It would continue to be a fun game to watch in the second period, although there would only be one goal, and that goal would be just about 4 minutes in by Nick Cousins of the Flyers.
The far side connecting, assisted on the Flyer goal. Now Bouwmeester back out. That shot tip scores! Tipped in front of the net. And the Flyers have tied it. Nick Cousins got a stick on that point shot. And Hutton had no chance.
He had absolutely no chance. I was on that shooting line. And Provorov does a great job walking the line, opening up the avenue. You see Konechny just move the puck around the wall and watch a little inside move. That opens up the lane. And then the chip play. And this all off the leg of the St. Louis Blues defender as well.
That goal would be given to Cousins, but it actually went off Carl Gunnarsson of the Blues, so there's not much that Carter Hutton was doing. He was in the right position to make the save, but it went right off the lower body of Carl Gunnarsson, and it gives the Flyers a tie, 2-2. That was Cousins' fourth goal. Provorov gets his 13th assist, and Konechny gets his 14th assist, his second of the game. And at this point, you know, you hate to see a goal go in like that. The rest of the second period would be pretty uneventful. Some very good play for both teams. So going into the third period, it was tied 2-2. Both teams hoping to get that third goal to take the lead, and the Flyers would be the one to take the lead early in the third period.
Backs his power play. Working over the line to Simmons. Takes the give and go. And Fretchen scores! And that will count, and the Flyers lead 3-2.
It's all-encompassing on this last play by Philadelphia. This is something special. Shane Gostisbehere with amazing composure coming through the neutral zone. A little stutter step, distributes a puck, plays give and go with Wayne Simmons, and then on the back and over to Braden Schenn, who snaps it high, blocker side. That's tic-tac goal.
Braden Schenn gives the Flyers a 3-2 lead, just 4 minutes and 13 seconds into the third period, and that goal came about due to a bad penalty taken by the Blues, and it gave the Flyers a power play goal. It'd be Braden Schenn's 10th, Gostisbehere's 13th assist, Simmons' 14th assist, and the Flyers got very confident after this. They looked very good for about a minute and a half, that is, until David Perron would get the Blues back at even against the Flyers.
Gottfried's finalists a year ago. Parayko shot scores!
You got to know what you do when you win a face-off, and you have to know what you do when you lose a face-off on both sides. Face-off win, but nowhere to go. So they go and they run Philadelphia out of racetrack. Parayko with a quick release, and there's David Perron right in the high slot with a chip play. That is a goal because of St. Louis knowing and understanding what to do after they lost that face-off.
A great shot by Parayko, a great deflection by David Perron. I love Parayko's shot. You know, earlier in the broadcast, they had compared his shot to Shea Weber, and I think it's just as good, if not better, and I know that's saying a lot because he's a young guy, but man, he has a massive, massive heavy shot when he goes to shoot it. And David Perron was able to redirect that shot for his 10th goal, Parayko's 17th assist. And 5 minutes and 53 seconds into the third period, guess what, guys? We're tied at 3 apiece. Both of these teams are very good, and you can see the way they played each other that they're very good. The Blues wanted to get that next goal to give them the lead. And, you know, guys, this fourth line's been playing hard all year. They've been giving the Blues goals when they need them, players like Reeves and Upshaw. And it would be another fourth line hardworking guy that would give the Blues a 4-3 lead.
Lost an edge as he went down. Pietrangelo across. A chip scores! Tipped in front! And the Blues lead!
When your depth players make a difference in a game, that's huge news. And the entire Blues bench is up, just so happy for Scotty Upshaw and Ryan Reeves. They do all the dirty work, D to D. Upshaw wants the puck, and he's going to chip that by Mason.
A great chip in by Scotty Upshaw. Fourth line working hard. Upshaw's fourth goal, Edmondson's eighth assist, Pietrangelo's 11th assist. And as I said, the bench is just going crazy. These top players on the team just love this work ethic of the Blues fourth line, who's been so instrumental in a lot of wins this year. Just great to see. That goal was 7 minutes and 13 seconds in, and it gives the Blues a 4-3 lead. They wouldn't look back. In fact, a gentleman that scored a goal early in the game would get his second, and it's nice to see him starting to score some goals.
The cross, Fabry unable to reach that. But Fabry off the wall, going to the net. Great goal,
they needed this guy to get going. They needed their defense to produce points. And they've got both. Great opportunity for Fabry. And he feels Nick Cousins on the backside. Then he drives and beats Cousins to the net and just short sides it on Mason. Great explosive move right here. Rather than just standing still, he moves his feet to the inside part of the ice. Look at the whip and the stick. And he whips it right by Mason.
Wow, what a goal. If you guys weren't at the game or didn't watch it, please go back and watch this effort by Robbie Fabry. Yeah, Berglund got an assist his 7th, and Yaskin got an assist his 7th. But this goal, Robbie Fabry's 10th goal of the year, has got to be one of the best goals by effort that I've seen a Blues player. He went after the puck, continued to go after it, went into the boards to get it. And I don't think the Flyers player expected him to take the puck away from the boards. I think he expected him to continue to either cycle it or sit there and try to pass it to somebody right next to him. But he came flying off the boards right to the middle of the ice and just put a great wrist shot right back past Steve Mason. Nothing Steve Mason could do. And it gives the Blues a 5-3 lead. I tell you guys, if Robbie Fabry can play like this in 90% of the games, 80% of the games, the Blues are going to go far. At the beginning of the year, I said the key players were Perron, Fabry, and Schwartz. These guys continue to play well. The Blues are going to go far in the playoffs. They're going to be the key. We already know we've got the goaltending, so these guys are going to be a key. Fabry wouldn't be done. He would add this empty netter with just a few seconds left in the game.
Pietrangelo, puck comes loose. Fabry breaks. They look ahead. Robbie Fabry open net.
Is there a better scene in hockey than to see a hat trick celebrated, Chris? Fantastic. Good on Ken Hitchcock, Mike Yeo, Rick Wilson, Stevie Thomas. They identified this kid had never had a hat trick. They got him on the ice. Gets his first career hat trick.
Fabry gets a hat trick on an empty net goal, and nice to see the coaches put him out there so he would have the ability to get that. I know a lot of people are going to say, hey, it was just an empty net goal, but it's still a goal, guys. He gets a hat trick, his 11th goal of the year, his first hat trick in the NHL, assisted by Yashkin, his 8th, and Stasny, 11th, and that was 17 minutes and 14 seconds into the third period, and the Blues take this one 6-3. Great goal. Blues played very well. The Flyers really didn't play bad, you know, losing 6-3 towards that. The third period wasn't great for them, but they did play a decent game. The Flyers fall to 20-13-4 with the 6-3 loss. The Blues improved to 19-12-5. Shots on goal, the Blues 25, the Flyers 20. Power plays, the Blues were 2-for-4. Nice to see. Flyers were 1-for-4, so both teams had 4 opportunities. So it was a refereed, pretty even game. Faceoffs 58% for the Flyers, 42% for the Blues. Simmons gets a goal, his 17th of the year, and gets an assist. Cousin gets his goal, the one that went off Gunnarsson, his 4th goal. Shen gets a power play goal, his 10th and an assist. Konecki gets 2 assists, and Provorov gets an assist, and Mason makes 19 saves. On the Blues side, Fabry gets his 9th, 10th, and 11th goals for a hat trick on the season. Shattenkirk gets a power play goal, his 8th. Perron gets a goal on that great, great deflection for his 10th goal. Yashkin gets 2 assists. Parayko gets 2 assists. And Carter Hutton does what he needs to do and makes 17 out of 20 saves. Let's go ahead and hear from the guys on the post-game press conference. We'll be able to hear from Carter Hutton, Robbie Fabry, and Scotty Upshaw.
Yeah, I mean, you know, great play by Stas and Yashkin to set that one up.
About the second one, I mean, you had to put in a little extra work to dig that one out of the corner and get into the slot there.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of felt him on my shoulder there, so I tried to spin off him, and you know, it ended up working. And then, you know, Bergie and Yaski took their guys at the net and sort of gave me a lane there.
Any hat tricks in junior?
Yeah, I had some in junior. Not first one here.
You remember the last one?
No, I couldn't tell you that. That's been a while.
Is it just a good feeling to know when you fall behind in the third period, you guys are able to reel it back in and get some results there and get the win tonight?
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing tonight. You know, no one got down on the bench. You know, everyone was, you know, sticking to the game plan and knowing what was making us successful. And you know, Hutz stood on his head there and played a great game, and you know, didn't allow anything after, you know, he saw we were going.
Nice to get some goals for Carter for a change. He's had some tough luck when he's been in goal.
Yeah, for sure. He's been playing great, and, you know, we just haven't been pulling out wins for him, and, you know, we're happy, you know, to get him that one.
Was this just a classic case of one of those situations where guys are getting to the net and, you know, deflections, tips, and, you know, just hard work to score tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Uppy and Perry had great noses at the net there, get to the net and tip those in, and, you know, everyone was just playing such a hard game down low and, you know, playing hard to play against, and you know, that's our strength, and you know, we saw how much success we had.
Yeah,
being rewarded.
I think it's a little bit of everything. Our D did a great job shooting with their heads up, getting them through that first layer, and you know, a goal of ours is to get in front of the net and be strong in those red areas, and we did a great job. It was a big effort in the third for our team.
What was the key to kind of holding things together when they get the first goal and kind of get the lead there?
Just to stick with the game plan, we, our team, for the most part, you know, we get down a goal early. We didn't flinch. We just kind of held our game. Our goaltending was superb. Hutsy, it was a big win for him. And then our special teams got us a big goal. Shaddy early in the game there kept us rolling. So it was a, you know, a full 60-minute effort. I don't think we had really any lulls, and that's how you win games.
Good to get goals for Carter for a change. He's had some tough luck when he's been in goal.
No, he's played great. He's been in some tough games, back-to-backs, on the road, some games where we haven't played the best in front of him. But tonight he held his ground. He made some big saves. He played the puck well. You know, the communication back there with him and the defense are, you know, it's good to see. So sign of good things there after the break. You know, we got a big game coming up here, rivalry game here on Friday, and get things going.
Yeah. I've lost too many close games to worry about that. You know, it's about winning games. So obviously, I'm pretty excited right now.
To see things kind of turn around there in the third. I mean, things have gone the other way when you give up a lead and they got the lead there, but you guys were able to kind of reverse course.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I just think our mindset. We kind of had a meeting yesterday and we kind of laid our cards out and thought, you know, we think we haven't been as good as we need to be, and I think a big part of that was like our attitude on the bench and the way we can answer the bell in games, and I thought tonight we did that. You know, from my standpoint, it was a tough game. You know, you're quiet for a long time. You know, the first one's, you know, a heck of a goal. Second one's a double bounce, and then third one guy meets me. Obviously, I want to make the save on that one, but you know, team bounced back. And then, you know, at that point, I just try to stay with it. And the team was, you know, dynamite after that.
This is a team that averages, I believe, over 30 shots a game. They like to get pucks to the net. What were the guys doing in front of you to just keep the traffic away?
Yeah, we did it. I thought we did a great job. You know, we know their guns that they have. And, you know, I think for us, it was just keeping things to the outside and keeping things down low. And they had some possession time, but I just thought we didn't really give up anything. You know, they throw pucks at the net. And, you know, guys were doing such a good job of boxing out and battling hard. So I think that was a huge factor in the game.
Although Carter Hutton gave up 3 goals, he did play a very good game. It could have been a 5-6 game, 6-6, 7-6, whatever. But Carter Hutton played well. It just goes to show that you need a good backup. And he played very well in the game. The Blues defense, I think, also was the key in Carter Hutton's success. They were able to keep the puck outside. There was a few opportunities down low, including that goal by Simmons and the goal that went off of Gunnarsson. But overall, the Blues played a very, very solid defensive game, and they win the game. Hey, 6-3. Nice, nice to see. The Blues also coming up here before their confrontation with the Blackhawks on the Winter Classic on Monday. You know, they've got one more game left here in 2016. It'll be against the Predators. That game will be Friday at 7 p.m. It'll be on Fox Sports Midwest and also on KMOX Radio. If you can't get down to the game, please tune into one of those outlets to listen or to see the Blues play. Hopefully we can go into this game against the Blackhawks on Monday and beat the Predators. It'd be nice to start something special here. You know, they've got that huge homestand, and I think this homestand is going to be a key to the season, guys. If the Blues can go 4-2, 5-1, 6-0, this is going to be key to what they're going to end up at the end of the year. Because as I've said before, you know, they're only 4 or 5 points out of not being in the playoffs. This is going to be a strange year. You're going to see teams, as I said a couple episodes ago, that are 9th, 8th in the league jump up to 6th or 5th, and the teams that are 5th or 6th drop down. It's going to be that close, in my opinion. So this homestand for the Blues is very, very important. On a side note, talking about the Winter Classic, go online to the Blues website. You'll be able to see Carter Hutton's special baseball, Cardinal baseball, Blues hockey mixed mask, and also Jake Allen, who will start and go for the Blues, his mask. Some cool things about the Winter Classic. We know we've got the alumni game coming up on Saturday, I believe, so that should be a lot of fun for everybody. It's going to be broadcast on MSNBC, so please tune in for that. Thanks again for joining me for another episode of the Drop Podcast. You know, I do this for you guys. I know we're all Blues fans, but we're hockey fans. We love to see good hockey, and that game last night against the Flyers was good all-around hockey. I want everybody to have a great rest of their week. I'll see everybody back on Saturday for the wrap of the Blues-Predators game. And as always, there's just one thing left to say. What is that? Let's go Blues!
This has been the Drop Podcast. You can email the Drop at theofficialdrop@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @OfficialTheDrop. Don't forget to subscribe or download this episode and past episode on iTunes, Stitcher.com, and ShoutEngine.com.